Hello, and welcome back. I'm so glad you're here today. Before we dive in, I want to say something that I genuinely mean. The fact that you pressed play on this episode, that you carved out a few minutes to think about your health and your well-being, that is not a small thing. That is self-advocacy in action. You are already showing up for yourself, and that matters more than any single habit or health tip we could ever discuss. So let's make this time count together. Today's wellness update is really a conversation about four big threads that weave through all of our lives: what we eat, how we move, how we connect with others, and how we take care of our brains. And what I love about the research and expert insights we're exploring today is that these threads don't exist in isolation. They braid together. The food you eat affects your brain. The way you move affects your joints and your mood. The quality of your connections affects your sense of meaning. It all works together, and today we're going to explore that beautifully interconnected picture. Let's start with something that might genuinely surprise you, and it surprised me too when I first came across it. Let's talk about potassium. Now, most of us were taught somewhere along the way that bananas are the go-to potassium food. Eat a banana, you're good, right? Well, nutrition researcher Dr. Eric Berg points out something worth knowing. Bananas, sweet potatoes, and beans, all traditionally celebrated for their potassium, are also quite high in starch. And your body converts that starch into sugar fairly quickly, which for some people can cause a noticeable rise in blood sugar. That doesn't mean these foods are bad, but it does mean they might not be the best fit for everyone. So what are the alternatives? Think of it this way. Imagine potassium-rich foods arranged on a spectrum, from those that come bundled with a lot of starch to those that come with almost none. On the low-starch, high-potassium end, you've got some real champions. A whole avocado delivers around 700 milligrams of potassium with essentially zero starch. Half a fillet of wild-caught salmon brings you close to 970 milligrams. And cooked beet greens, a single cup offers an impressive 1,300 milligrams. Dr. Berg also makes a really important point that many people miss. Potassium can't do its work in your body without magnesium alongside it. Think of them as a partnership, like two keys that open the same door. And the great news is that many of these same foods contain both. One more practical tip: because potassium dissolves in water, sautéing or steaming your leafy greens rather than boiling them helps preserve more of that nutritional value. Building on that nutritional foundation, let's talk about something called chronic low-grade inflammation, because this is a term you're going to hear more and more, and it's worth understanding in plain language. Think of inflammation not as the sharp, obvious kind you feel when you sprain an ankle, but as a very quiet, very slow burning fire somewhere deep in your body systems. Researchers Dr. Peter Attia and Dr. Rhonda Patrick, in a conversation on the Peter Attia Drive podcast, describe this quiet inflammation as one of the most important factors in long-term health, particularly for your heart and your brain. Dr. Patrick referenced a fascinating study from Japan that followed people who lived past 100 years old. When researchers looked at what these centenarians had in common, the single strongest predictor of reaching that age with their minds intact was low levels of chronic inflammation. Not cholesterol, not blood sugar. Inflammation. Dr. Attia added to this by describing a large clinical trial where people who received an anti-inflammatory medication had significantly fewer heart attacks and cardiac events, even though both groups in the study had identical cholesterol levels. That finding tells us something really powerful. Managing inflammation is its own category of heart protection. So what does that look like in real life? Foods rich in omega-3 fatty acids like wild-caught salmon, colorful vegetables, olive oil, blueberries, walnuts, and fermentable fiber from plant foods are all part of what Dr. Patrick calls her personal anti-inflammatory approach. These aren't exotic or expensive foods. They're accessible choices that, over time, can help keep that quiet internal fire from smoldering. Now let's shift to movement. And specifically, let's talk about something that most of us skip entirely, the warm-up. Movement specialists Jesse Schwartzman and Dr. Attia make a compelling case for why even 5 minutes of intentional movement preparation before exercise, or honestly before your day, can protect your joints for years to come and actually make you stronger in the process. Here's the insight that really landed for me. Most of us move primarily in one direction, forward and back, walking, sitting, standing, climbing stairs. We almost never train the muscles that move us sideways or help us rotate. And that imbalance is a key reason knees and hips struggle when life suddenly demands a quick lateral step or a twist. Think of your body like a car that's only been driven in straight lines. The first time you need to take a sharp turn, something protests. More importantly, there's a specific area called the thoracic spine, your mid and upper back, that tends to get stiff and locked up from hours of sitting and screen use. When that area stops moving freely, your lower back has to pick up the slack, and that's often where pain begins. Just a few gentle rotations and reaches through that mid-back region each morning can begin to change how your whole body feels. And there's one more concept worth knowing: proprioception. It's your brain's ability to sense where your body is in space. It's what helps you catch yourself when you stumble.
Research consistently points to this as one of the most important factors in long-term health and fall prevention, especially as we age. Balance work, even simple standing exercises, trains the system beautifully. From movement, let's move into something that touches all of us deeply, the search for meaning. Harvard professor Arthur Brooks, in a conversation on the Rubin Report, shares research that I think is going to stay with you. He found that the leading predictor of depression and anxiety isn't trauma or genetics or life circumstances alone. It's the inability to articulate what makes your life meaningful.
He describes meaning as your brain's ongoing attempt to answer three questions. Why do things happen the way they do? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And why does my life matter? And here's where it gets fascinating and a little uncomfortable for all of us who love our phones. Brooks explains that our brain's chemistry for love, belonging, and genuine connection, driven by a molecule called oxytocin, sometimes called the bonding hormone, flows most powerfully during direct eye contact and physical presence with people we care about. But research shows that even having your phone face down on the dinner table, without touching it, reduces that flow, because part of your mind is still waiting for it, still half absent. His practical guidance is simple and free. Protect mealtimes as device-free windows. Pursue what he calls conversations about things you can't Google. Spend time in nature without filtering it through a camera lens. These aren't radical lifestyle changes. They're small, daily acts of choosing real presence over digital presence. And speaking of your brain, let's close our main content with what might be the most empowering finding in all of today's briefing. Both Dr. Atiyah and Dr. Patrick describe being consistently struck by how powerfully physical exercise protects and nourishes the brain. Dr. Patrick highlights that exercise works through multiple pathways at once. It improves blood vessel health, it reduces anxiety, it sharpens executive function like planning and focus, and it stimulates something called BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor. Think of BDNF as a kind of fertilizer for your brain cells. It supports their growth, their survival, and their ability to connect with each other. Exercise literally helps your brain grow and repair itself. Research she discussed found that 24 sessions of high-intensity interval training reversed approximately a full decade of age-related aerobic decline. A decade! That is the power you carry in your body every single day. So as we close today, I want to offer you one simple, completely free wellness step you can take today, right now even. At your next meal, put your phone in another room. Not face down, another room. Give yourself one meal of genuine, undivided presence, whether that's a quiet solo lunch where you actually taste your food, or a shared dinner where you make real eye contact with someone you love. Let your nervous system rest. Let oxytocin do its work. That's it. That's your one step. And as always, please remember, everything we explore here is a starting point for curiosity and conversation with your own healthcare team, never a replacement for their personalized guidance. If you're managing specific health conditions, please check in with your doctor before making significant changes. And if you're struggling with your mental health or sense of meaning, please reach out to a professional, to a loved one, or to the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline by simply calling or texting 988. You deserve real, compassionate support. Thank you for spending this time with me today. You showed up for yourself, and that is always worth celebrating. You've got this. Take care of yourself.